You may be tired of what's becoming a pattern of me giving you a slight biography of every homily that I prepare. But I'm going to do it again today, so tighten your seatbelt if this is too painful. So I've been fretting all week, of course, about this theme that I announced last Sunday. Advent is a time of celebrating the absence of God. And it is. God's not here. We wouldn't be waiting for somebody who's here, clearly. And that's what Advent is for, a time of expectation, a time of waiting. And so I suggested we take an inventory of those absences in our lives of God. And then come Monday or Tuesday of this week, I was lying in bed and was physically jolted by another thought. I thought, Trojak, you can't do this. But I'm going to do it anyway. Because the theme I want to announce today is the absence of mercy. I think Francis is a genius when he talks about the year of mercy, a papacy of mercy. And it all sounds very nice, as long as the rubber doesn't touch the road. Oh, I'm merciful. Oh, you're merciful, I'm merciful. We're all merciful. That's really good. We're all merciful here. That's rubbish. It's not true. And if anything gave the lie to that, it was the events of the last few days. I confess, when I see the picture of those two Muslim people, well, pseudo-Muslim, they're not Muslims. The Quran does not enjoin murder. But they, in their warped, terribly warped misunderstanding, think that that's what the Quran wants us to do, to kill people, which is, of course, the absolute opposite of mercy. I didn't feel merciful toward those two guys when their faces showed up on TV endlessly. I was happy they got killed. And I suspect I was not alone in that joy. So this is kind of an experiment for my imagination and for your imagination. What would it take to be merciful? What would make me be merciful? And merciful, the more you think about it, is a really complex phenomenon. It's not self-evident. You know? It's made up of a number of parts, I think. And we write, oh, mercy, mercy, mercy. Lord have mercy, 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 mercy. It's so easy to just ramp up the rhetoric, you know? But that gets no place. And that's certainly not what Advent is about. Where mercy is absent, God is absent. Full stop. And all this bloodlust disappearing every place, in the States, in Iraq, in every place, you know, in Israel. Attest to the absence of God. So what goes into being merciful? Patience, I think, first of all. Mercy is a compound of patience. For without patience, there can be no mercy. And patience is in terribly short supply in our mechanized world. Our technological wonders hastening forward faster than we can move humanly. And that's true. Rapidation is that barbaric word that somebody coined a few years ago, a sociologist, no less. Rapidation. Well, I have news for everybody and for myself. The human animal is not amenable to unlimited rapidation. We have a stop button someplace, or a pause, or something. And without patience, nothing can be enjoined. Because mercy takes time. And we want the instantaneous response. Kill those buggers! But it's very hard, I confess. I was lying in bed thinking about this stuff, and when the word mercy popped into my head, I felt a physical jolt. My God, who wants to be merciful to those SOBs? I should. How do you do it? How do you do it? Patience, I said, is a major ingredient of mercy, I think. Infinite openness to the other. To go back to a homily of a few weeks back, God is infinite openness, infinite generosity. And that alone is God, not this murderous pseudo-God of ISIS. So to be patient, to watch, to wait, to be ready to accept. To be ready to accept even the most horrific thing. Because people are, as we all know, in our own cases, people are not converted instantaneously. See, this is one of the great problems of Catholic thought. And one of the enormous plagues of seminary training. They did not have any space between starting and stopping at the end, called perfectionism. You just become perfect, period, full stop. Kept all the rules, good, you're perfect. And that's what we were taught. A shallow trivialization of one of the most profound virtues in the human repertoire. Patience, openness, awareness of my own weakness, my own fallibility, my own painful hatefulness, which bubbles up with great regularity. They're all contrary to mercy. And more. I'm not going to bore you with a great litany of those counter-mercy virtues. Or vices, rather. So that's what I said. I'm proposing this as an experiment for your imagination. My imagination, first of all. What goes into being merciful? What is absent in me that precludes the possibility of mercy? And there's plenty. It may not come to bloodlust, but it comes to anger, resentment, bitterness, you know, all the wicked elements that go into being unmerciful. But that's what we're called to. You know those cute sayings in the New Testament? Turn the other cheek, love your enemy. Oh yeah, yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. I've been doing that for years. No, you haven't. I haven't. And the older I get, the more transparent that lack of mercy becomes for me, to my shame. But I know that that's what God calls us to. Martyrdom had a fairly short history in the early church. And it's not because, I just heard recently from the great Thomas Merton, it's not because martyrdom was no longer in fashion once the Romans took over. Well, once Constantine took over. No, it is perennially demanded, it's perennially difficult. And we pretend that we have appeared merciful. So it sent me back, as it often does, into my unhappy encounters with every bishop I have known. My ordaining bishop, when I went to ask him if I could take a leave of absence, was furious. And the moment I was walking out of his office, he yelled at me from across the room, and don't expect any money from us! That's mercy incarnate, eh? our own John Michael Sherlock, his last words to me, "Are you undermining my authority in that community?" The very heart of mercy in that question. And for the life of me, I don't know where he picked that up. Perhaps from the bowdlerized versions of homilies that the seminarians took back when they showed up at King's once a year. I don't know. But I can swear that I never attempted to undermine John Michael Sherlock's authority, whatever he saw it to be. And I have a rough idea of what he saw it to be. "I will command and you will obey." Mercy doesn't figure in that computation. Mercy is alien to that. To be merciful is to hear, to understand, to be compassionate toward. Not to condemn. Again, that reading from a couple weeks back, "Do not judge, lest you be judged." The Christian life is ruthless, in a word. There's no place for weaklings, the half-hearted, or better yet, the people who disguise its demands under dollops of sentimentality, weakness, self-justification. Again, let me finish with that glorious line that Dorothy Day quoted all through her life. Dorothy Day, I presume everybody knows. Dorothy Day is a saint. Whether Francis Cardinal Spellman thought she was or not is quite beside the point, because he was anything but a saint. Okay. She loved this line from Dostoevsky. "Love is a harsh and dreadful thing." And she's right. Look at a bloody crucifix. And you can see it enacted.